abundant grace of God. During the week, it was my birthday. I got so spoilt. I got flowers delivered, like this. I got given all these helium balloons that decorated the house, and one of them is actually still blown up and solid and in the roof today. And it was just awesome. I just felt so special. And then on top of that, all my family and friends gave me this box. But inside the box are letters. Are letters describing why they love me. Describing things, or my parents described things about me that had occurred when I was little and young, that they remembered, that they wanted to reflect upon and share with me. I read these and I was so overwhelmed. I cried. Do you know that God has this abundant grace for us, these gifts for us? And he might present them in a beautiful box, but if we don't open them and read them and meditate upon them and dwell upon them, you miss that beautiful love that comes from them. You miss that opportunity that God has for us. What is this abundant grace? It's so hard to define. So hard to define. In Christian terms, it's the spontaneous, unmerited gift of the divine favor. In one, the salvation of our sins. Jesus came on the earth. He lived here among us, taught us, loved us, and then died for us and rose again to save us so that we could, for the rest of eternity, be with God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What a gift. What divine favor. What grace. But on top of that, this grace has given us an opportunity to regenerate ourselves with his help and to become saintly, pure, holy, the sanctification of ourselves. We cannot do it on our own. I don't know about you, but I know I can't. God gives us this grace, this ability to be the best that he created us to be. My parents, the day after my birthday, rang me and asked me, did I like what they wrote in the letters? How did my surprise go? How did my birthday go? What happened? They were excited for me and they wanted to know if I enjoyed their gifts. Do you know God wants that from us too? He's so excited to give us stuff and then he wants to know, so what did you think? Did you like it? Were you excited? Were you surprised? Were you gobsmacked? I call it God-smacked because I just spoiled you so much. God has this love for us and he desires to spoil us so much. I'll give you another example. I have for a while, all last year, looked after two of my grandchildren. One of them is a little girl called Willow, who is 18 months old, and one is a girl who's 3.5, 4, Aubrey. And every Wednesday, I looked after them because Mum went to work. And I loved spending the time with them. But this year, I don't need to. Aubrey's gone to preschool and Willow has started at a daycare so she can mix with lots of other children. Otherwise, she's by herself. And it's really beautiful to hear, but also sad because she wakes up a lot of mornings and says, can I go to Grammy's house? Is Grammy coming over? Because that's what they call me, Grammy. Is Grammy coming over? And Melissa has to tell her mum, Melissa has to tell her, no, not today. And she gets so disappointed. Do you know, today, on my day off, I went and I drove to her house to see her. I wanted to spoil her. I wanted to surprise her that I was coming to visit. Oh my goodness, she ran towards me. She hugged me. She wouldn't let go of my legs. And we sat down together and chatted. You know, that's what God's like with us. He wants to spoil us so much. And when we miss him, when we feel like, you know, where are you, God? He comes and visits us. He comes and surprises us and goes, here I am. I didn't forget about you. God's grace is so abundant. It's amazing. So amazing, so other, so love-centered. How do you describe it? We try to describe it in human terms, and they just no way define grace. But I'll give you an example, or a try anyway, that it's full of wonder. It's astonishing. It's impressive. It's stunning. It's spectacular. It's unbelievable. It's overwhelming. This grace encompasses mercy and compassion and love and spoiling, and it oozes from God. He wants to give us his gifts, his grace, his courage, his kindness, his overcoming. He wants to give it all to us so that we can live the best, fullest life here on earth. Because that's what Jesus said, I've come to bring you life, life to the full. So your life will be full of kindness and full of compassion and full of love and full of mercy, etc., etc., etc. Anything that we can try to put together to describe this grace is like rags to the richness of this gift from the Most High God, our Father. But it takes humility to accept it, because God wants to help us, but often, oh no, I can do it myself. We're too proud. God does not condemn us. God does not think, oh my goodness, how weak are they? No, he understands we are frail and we have weaknesses. All of us have some sort of weakness. And God wants to come and bless us. This God who's so full of grace, that the grace is amazing even on our bad days. I call bad days blubby days. Just describes it so well. My sister Joanne, when she was growing up, used to use this word, blubby. We've just had such a blubby day. Things didn't go well, not the way I planned. I'm not coping very well. Life just doesn't go well. But God can be amazing, full of grace on those days too. Because his grace doesn't change. His grace is always amazing, always encompassing us. It's like God gives us this coat, and he wants us to put on this grace that he gives us. It encompasses us. You know, even like, for example, it's got a hood, because it totally, don't I look stunning? It totally encompasses us, because God wants to fill us with his grace. Grace comes when we give it to others as well, when we extend it to others, because God doesn't want to just give it to us. He wants us to give it to us and now go out to the world and give it to others. Last week, we've been painting our house, and I went down to the local paint shop to buy paint. Now, I had the colour swatch that I wanted, and I gave it to the gentleman, and I'd already got the big 10-litre tin. And I know they have to put in the different colours, the different tints to mix, and then mix it up in this machine so they get the correct colour. And the gentleman was very frazzled because the tint machine wasn't working. He didn't know at first, but he got someone else to come and help him and look at it. And then they were frazzled and on the phone, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness. And he turns to me and says, you might have to pick another brand of paint. And I didn't want to, because this one was the one that I wanted. Anyway, after a few minutes on the phone, they finally got it working. So he comes back to the machine and he goes, Snow White. And I went, no, I'm sure that wasn't the colour. He goes, yeah, Snow White, look. And I'm looking around on the table for the swatch of colour that I'd handed it to him. And he does it, put it in, and I'm thinking, I'm sure that's not the right colour. So he puts the tint in, mixes it in the machine, undoes the lid and goes, oh, that's not the colour that you wanted. I could have said, yeah, I know. I could have, you know, blasted him. But I went across, he put the lid back on and put it on the floor. I went across and got the colour that I wanted. It was called Snow Season, not Snow White. I gave it to him. I said, this is the colour that I wanted. I could have told him I told you so, but I didn't. So he went around and got another 10 litre, came back, put it in, comes back after it's gone through the machine, got the tint in it, shaken up and down in the machine, opens the lid, and it's a dark grey, and I wanted light grey. Oh my goodness, he's like, oh my goodness. And he's looking at the computer because that's where you type in the name, and he's looking at everything. And just as he's still frazzled and trying to work out what's wrong, another gentleman came to work in the same area. And he noticed there was this kerfuffle happening, and I'm just standing there quietly. And he looks across, and then they finally work out that the gentleman had picked up the wrong base. It wasn't a white base, it was a yellow something base, so the colour came out different. So he puts the lid back on, goes and puts it down on the floor, and goes and gets another tin of 10 litre paint. Once again, I could have gone, oh, look at the time. I started, when I was first there, I was first in line. Then there are five or six people after me waiting. But I had this little whisper of the Holy Spirit, which said, be gracious to him. So third time blessed, he got it right. And as he passes the tin over to me, I say, thank you very much for your help. I hope you have a better day. And thank you for being patient, because he had to be patient too. And I hope that he did have a better day, that he wasn't as frazzled. And I got the right colour in the end, but I extended grace to him, because God, my Father, extends it always to me. We extend grace to children when they're whingy and whiny, and you take their temperature. They're not feverish, but for some reason they're just complaining the whole day. Oh my goodness, can drive you up the creek, as they call it. But you can be gracious to that child and go, wonder, maybe they've got a sore tummy and they're not explaining why, or who knows, we whinge and whine. We complain. We have bad days. Well, so too do children. Can we extend grace to them? Grace looks beautiful on anybody. It makes you look beautiful. There was a customer of mine when I used to work in pharmacy, and her name was Lady Scott. She was the most gracious woman that I have ever met. She always wore shawls and in summer hats. She walked very slowly, very regally actually, but she had a walking stick. She was stooped over. I know she was in incredible pain because she had a twisted spine, and she'd had over the years many spinal surgeries. But not once did she complain. She was always gracious to everyone. And one day I asked the doctors next door, did Lady Scott receive an honour from the government, and so they've called her a lady? You know how you get a title? They said, no. She's always just been so gracious that over the years, everyone in this community has called her Lady Scott. Oh, what an honour. Wouldn't that be awesome as you grow older that they called you Lady? Wow. You don't have to get the honour from the government. Just your community around you sees how gracious you are, how generous, how kind, how kindly spoken, soft-spoken, not grumpy and grouchy, because she could have been. She was in so much pain. She was gracious to people, because over the years she knew. When you sat down and she shared with you her stories, she knew people had been gracious to her. You know, we women need to be gracious to each other. We want to be women with sharing dreams and ideas, sharing who we are, encouraging each other, being gracious to each other, loving each other, loving our community, loving our family, our friends, being honourable, respectful, because that's what people will notice in the world. They'll go, well, why are you so gracious? We can say, because it's God our Father who is amazingly gracious to me. You know, the song Amazing Grace was written by a man who used to do slave trading. And he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, and it changed his entire life. He then fought against the slave trade, and he became a pastor, and he wrote this song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Grace has a sound. Grace has a touch. Grace has thoughts, because grace is from our God. And that's how he shares it. He shares it, the gifts, with our mind and our thoughts, with things he sends us, with how we feel emotionally, spiritually, how our soul is. Because he encompasses all of us, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, in all areas. God brings fullness of grace. Let us reflect this grace. Let us be content. Let us be confident. Let us be overcomers, encouragers, faithful, trusting, joyous, gracious women. In Hebrews 4:16, I love what this states. Let me read it to you. So we approach the throne of grace. Do you love that? It's not a throne of condemnation. It's not a throne of judgment. It's a throne of grace, of forgiveness, of mercy, of love, of kindness, of compassion. Just keep describing adjectives. That is all good of God. So we approach the throne of grace with confidence in him who gives us this grace. But it starts off with therefore. So if he's saying, because of something, you can be bold and confident and approach the throne of grace. So what is the thing before? And this is in Hebrews 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize and understand our weaknesses and temptations, but one who has been tempted, knowing exactly how it feels to be human. In every respect as we are, yet without committing any sin. So it's saying that Jesus, because he lived on the earth with us, he was totally human, totally divine at the same time, but totally human, understands weaknesses, understands flaws. He himself never sinned, but he understands us because he lived with us. He breathed the same air we breathe. He ate the same type of foods we eat. He had to work hard for a living. He understands. Because of him, that he says, come boldly to my throne of grace, and I will give you, I will spoil you with grace. Because that's what he desires to do. He's sympathetic towards us. He understands where the world is right now. He felt compassion, pain, sadness, pressure. But he had a total trust in God, his Father. He even asked, remember in the Garden of the Gethsemane, he even asked, if you can take this cup away, please. I don't want to be, you know, nailed to the cross. But if it needs to be, your will. Because he understood everything about humanity. And because of that, even because of that, he then says, still come to the throne of grace. Be bold. I'm going to read it from the Message Bible because I love the way it describes it. Now, the Message Bible is a translation of a translation in everyday language, trying to explain what it means. Now that we know what we have, Jesus, this great high priest with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weaknesses and testing, experienced it all but sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. Take the mercy, get the help from God. The grace is abundant and he desires to give it to us. Let's finish with a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear loving Father, send us your courage so that we can walk boldly to your throne of grace. May we ask, Lord, what we need. May we pour ourselves upon your mercy. Lord, send us your grace. We need you right now, personally in our own lives, but in the world. And also, Lord, pour more upon us so that we can extend that grace to others, for others need it just as much as we do. We thank you that you encourage us, even though we are weak, that we come to you with confidence, asking for grace. In Jesus' name we pray.